Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everybody, it's Chad of the Wild. In this season we're playing through The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. In our last episode, we had made the decision based on the folks in our Discord voting on which direction we should go, and that was to the Gerudo. Though admittedly, I think we ended up pushing the scale a little bit just because it was kind of split even among the listeners in the Discord that were voting.
Mm. Sure, yeah.
It felt that way to me, at least.
It's completely fair.
It's fair and balanced, mm-hmm. Jeremy.
I mean, hey, our vote counts too, right? Like, we're the ones, I mean, I don't want to argue that our vote should count more because we're the ones actually doing it, but our vote counts the same. So, there you go.
I will say, after having spent so much time in the cold region, I felt very well equipped to go to the warm region. So, I'm not mad about it.
Right. So we are going to, in this episode, we are going to be talking about the region just north of the Gerudo Desert, the Gerudo Highlands, which still is just cold, right?
Yeah, like we, more
that
cold.
Is, yeah, it was kind of surprising where I was like, okay, let's get ready to do this. Oh, wait, no. It's still, everything is really cold here.
Yeah. I got to put my warm hat back on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this time it was cold for me, but I did it with clothes on, so I didn't have to worry about any silly nonsense and could just kill things.
Well, Brian, I did want to talk to you a bit about this because what I've been doing is I go and put a gem on a shield because mm-hmm. I'm not a big shield user, and so that alone has let me balance my body temp fairly well in these things where I have a warm shield and a cold shield. Yeah, and I just, like, if he starts shivering, I just, like, pop on the red one. If he, mm-hmm. you know, starts sweating, I pop on the blue one, and I get a pretty decent balance. There are the extremes, but that's going to be in the next episode when we
that's
get further
pretty good,
in the desert.
Though.
So you can keep the red, you can keep your nakers in a way, because shields don't count, right?
Shields, yeah, definitely don't count. Hats sort of don't count, but I've only made that rule in this game because even if I'm wearing a hat or I have my bandana on or whatever, it doesn't matter. They will roast you for being naked. Everyone in this game. In the last game, it was like some people would mention it. Every single person has a bit of dialogue about how stupid you are for not having clothes on.
They really care.
It's funny.
Fashion has taken over Hyrule.
Yeah.
Fashion is important. Yeah,
sort of dystopian way.
Mm-hmm. There's something we have not talked about that I am sorry, listeners, because we said we were going to talk about this like two episodes ago, and we haven't, and that is the Great Fairies.
Yay!
Technically, they're outside of the regions we were covering, but we did want to make an exception for this to reach out to the group that started that quest. Because three of the four of us would really like to upgrade some clothes. I guess, Brian, you'd upgrade your hat, right?
I have so all four Great Fairies.
Well, that's not what we're talking about right now. We're just talking about Great Fairies in general.
All of my clothes were as upgraded as possible, even though I was not wearing them. But, yeah. Recently, because we went to this area, I was able to get the fourth.
I should have known that when I said to the group of like, okay, we're going to make an exception. Let's go to a Great Fairy. And Brian hears, let's go to the Great Fairies.
no, because, we made an exception for one of them cause it was right over the border. Mm. And then the other two were in areas we could go to.
One of them
is technically in the area that we are
okay.
Technically now two of them are in the areas that we are going to.
Yeah,
okay.
Because there's one in the Garuda area. So,
yeah, which I don't know. I don't even know if I've done the Garuda one. Yeah, because there's one in the South Hyrule field that we haven't technically covered because that's not, it's so hard to talk about some of these things, especially Hyrule field is the difficult part because there's Hyrule field and then there's South Hyrule field. We have not actually talked about South Hyrule field because that includes the Great Plateau.
Yes.
I feel so much better because I have not gone into South Hyrule field and I keep being like, am I supposed to have explored this? Like,
not yet.
Like, do we care about South Central or?
I accidentally unlocked it because I had accidentally unlocked towers twice now. Though technically the other one was the Garuda one, and we were going to do it anyway. In this batch of recordings and behind the scenes stuff here, but I had done it, did the quest for it, and then the map opens up, and I'm like, that's not what I wanted.
That's not the one.
So there, BC, I have had the same issue, like where, but mine's different, where my map is open to it, and it looks, it's just a sliver. But that we need to move on for that. We will be covering that probably. We'll be covering that after the Gerudo.
Yes, I was going to make an argument for that.
Yes, but let's talk about the fairies. So they're a little bit different this time. In Breath of the Wild, you just go up to the fairies, and then you paid money for them to open up and upgrade.
Yeah, to show them you love them.
This time, money isn't going to do it for them. I mean, it will later. But this time, they don't trust the way the world is, because apparently Zelda had gone around to each of them to be like, hey, stuff's going down.
It's bad
y'all
out here right now.
Yeah.
Maybe you y'all should hide.
Go into your bunkers and hide. The
move,
end of the world is coming.
I don't know. Did she tell them to move or did they move already?
Some of them moved already. I don't think any of them, she specifically was like, you need to leave. I think one of them was like, yeah, it's bad here. So I decided to come over here instead because it might be a little better.
And I like music.
Yeah, one of them specifically was like, I like the band that plays here, so I decided to come down here instead. But now they left, and now I'm sad.
I thought, maybe not all of them are just like, I want to be closer to people, and stables are where people are, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this starts a quest for us, one that we had talked about in a previous episode that we found one of the musicians, but now there we find out that there is a traveling band that has been going from town to town to do all this stuff, but their wagon broke.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, every time, like, you know, it's the easiest fix for us right now, right? Someone says like, this fell off of this thing. What will I? Oh, you've already glued it back on. Thanks, hero.
Hold on. Give me a few minutes. I'm going to make something crazy.
We're going to get wild. Let me go ahead. Where can I put this wheel to make it still work?
Finding the band member is harder than getting them to the gig.
Yeah.
In real life, getting the band member to the gig is normally the hardest part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we need to do for each of these is, well, we need to find the member for it. Once we talk to the lead conductor, they will give us a quest of saying, "Oh, we have this person here," and then we can go and find them and help them when they come.
Also, the fairies like, keep an eye out for a flute player. I'm totally down to flute solos.
When we find them, they go back to like the base, which is near one of the stables, and then there's a little puzzle to fix their caravan, whatever is bothering it, and then we need to take that caravan up to the Great Fairy, which there was one in the tundra that one, I don't know. I was just doing it wrong. I was just being dumb. Like, it was just like, yeah, there was a path along one side, but I was like, let's try the other way, and then ended up failing a couple times because I was just like, come on, we can make this work, and they just weren't having it.
They're like, oh, you're shaking the GTA car too much. You're running into too many cars or whatever.
This is like, nuts. I'm out of here. And then they all just like bail.
Well, then
I thought Tony vouched for you. You a terrible driver.
But then we get the end of the Looney Tunes episode circle in to them where they're just like, ah, and then
yeah.
it just goes full black screen and kicks us back there.
You don't really have to like do too much. Like, it doesn't destroy the vehicle you made.
No.
Because like
no.
I made an elaborate one and it failed because I didn't understand what I was supposed to do. Because you have to like float on the water for one of them. And I just went the wrong way.
Okay.
That one's like also just over the like the border of an area we went to. And so no,
I but was it's
like,
over the border.
I went there. And yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that later, I guess. But no, the fairies. Yeah, yeah. So when we do that, they play a song for them, which is what is the song? It's a version of the stable song, right?
Mixed with something else.
I feel
I can't
bad
tell
for
if it's
not
the Wind Waker
this.
Song
yeah, I think
or
it,
not. Like,
I think it is the Wind Waker song. I think the violinist mm-hmm. is specifically playing like a couple lilts from the Wind Waker theme song. But it's not like exact.
No, it's enough to get like to get the
nostalgia.
It's enough to trigger the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like
doing
it.
That.
I think it's a bop.
Yes.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
absolutely.
Once again,
I love this band.
Music in this game just fantastic. Always never been disappointed with the Zelda music. So when they're opened up, that does give us the ability to then upgrade our gear. To do so, we need certain kind of parts for each thing, and then you got to pay money for it. Each
yeah.
time you for each fairy you unlock, they can only upgrade a thing maybe twice, I believe.
It's one tier per fairy.
Okay, so just one tier. Okay, okay.
Altogether.
So yeah, one time you can upgrade them one time, and then you'll have to find another fairy before you can do the next mm-hmm. tier to upgrade.
And any of them can upgrade any of the tiers. It just however many you have at that point is the maximum amount for any clothes.
Mm-hmm. They have to share. They have a shared energy between them yeah. that when they're all awake, they can upgrade things more.
They can harass Link further and further.
Oh, yeah, yeah. those animations are just so weird.
I mean, it's not only, like, we're not only being harassed, we're paying to be harassed. Like, money is
yeah.
being exchanged for these goods and these services.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, now we have the ability to upgrade our gear, making it a bit easier to deal with certain things. Something like the Gleox are going to be easier to deal with, including something that Tegan and I came across. Can we say the word, I guess? Are you guys okay with us saying this?
Okay,
It's in our region. There's a floating
yeah,
island.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, yeah.
Tegan, this
is the
ahead. Second time it's in our
Dekernish.
Region. There was one in Hebra also. They're King Gleox.
Mm-hmm.
They have three heads, just like the other ones, but each head is a different element.
Yes.
So you have to deal with the three different elements at once.
That's nice. You get a horn of each when you're done, though.
Where are you all finding these Gleox?
Because up in the sky.
King Gleox.
Well, this one
sky.
Was up in the sky.
Yeah.
This is the first one I've seen like up on a Skyland, I think. Mm-hmm. But there's a fire one over by one of those. Over by the edge of Tabantha and the Gerudo Highland region we went into. We haven't been to the Coliseum, but there's a lightning one there.
There's a Frost Gleok right by where the Great Fairy is.
Yeah,
Hebra.
We ran past it
yeah.
while doing the Great Fairy mission.
Okay, yeah, no. So that one I have seen from afar and avoided.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It seems like
smart.
A pain.
Very smart. Avoid it.
I'm like Brian is with the Lynels now with Gleox. Like, I have them figured out. The King Gleok, the problem that I had with it and my solution to it is, so if when you're fighting them, if you're not super aggressive, their final phase, they
sucks.
Go up to the sky and they rain down whatever element is on you.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, they give you the ability to rise up to them in some way. Fighting the King Gleok was hard because they were dropping ice and lightning at the same time. And so you would get on one of the ice things and then the lightning strike would hit you and knock you out. My solution that I had for it is when they were doing that, immediately focus on the lightning head and knock it out as they're going up, and then they won't do the lightning. The other elements are just easy to take care of then. If like for me, that was my big issue, is that I kept getting shocked in the middle of
Once they get out of reach, like, it is tough for me to get to them. Is there a way to close that distance without just spending a rocket shield?
That's what I saw. Is some people, some people were they were saying this is the fast way to do it, and that was give yourself a couple rocket shields.
Yeah.
And as they're going up, you just need to, like I said, you need to be aggressive. If like,
because I miss them like half the time. Like I like this is the final phase. The first one I killed in the game, my weapons were weak enough that I had to do it in four phases, and so I never triggered the final, like their final freak out, fly into the sky phase. And so the first time I saw that, I was like, this is just like,
are they leaving?
Vegeta is just like standing above, like, when did this happen? I haven't seen this yet. So like raining hell upon me. Mm-hmm. So
I use
it's
up.
It's tough to get them to, sometimes I can't get them to before they do that.
I use up a lot of ki size when I do this too, just to stun the heads as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And I've you can use your elemental ones, right? You use your ice ones that will quickly, if not immediately, stun a fire head. Right?
Yeah.
So keeping that in mind as you're doing it is good. Firing some more explosive things at them too is good to take out all three at once. There's different strategies to it, but it's really just about being aggressive with stunning them. And then Tegan, I know you you shared a little video of some funny things that can happen when you do stun them.
So I stunned. The one time I was trying to fight the King Gliok, I stunned it, and it dropped down from the sky where it was, and it landed kind of funny on the island, and it rolled off the island, and it fell all the way to the Gerudo Desert.
Oh no!
And then you got a huge chunk of
HP out of there. It just went thump, and I was like, "Whoa!"
Wow,
the video's funny. You shared it with me. I think you should go and share it in the Discord, with other people.
Because during that same fight, knocked him out of the sky, and he had flown a bit outside of the ring, but I saw him the game moving him closer to the island King. He's a king. I don't know.
Right.
King fell to the ground. Yeah, it definitely like rubber banding effect of moving him back to the island. So
yeah, and it definitely like it crazy. Did that. It rubber banded him down to the island, but he landed weird on it, and so he just ragdolled right off it. And I was like, whoa! Oh no.
There was nothing. There was no geometry for him. Like, he fell onto a flat surface. So there was no geometry for him to, like, bounce off weird. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, BC, you have not fought, like, successfully a Gliok yet, I assume?
I haven't I've seen them. I saw the one in the ice one from a distance, and I was like, I should not fight that.
No. I still haven't killed that one, because I'm just like, that just doesn't look like a fun fight.
Yeah. I've fought Phrox. I've fought Hinox. I've fought Lynels, but not successfully killed them, because I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Like, what is the secret sauce? I thought that there was something where you could get on the Lynels' back.
There is.
But I don't know what the mechanics of doing that, and I have failed at it multiple times. I just rather assume that
than, rather than shoot him in the face.
Stun him by getting him in the face. Rather
That's
than consoling them like you would a normal horse or a bear or a deer, you just start whacking the back of his head.
Oh, okay.
When you do that, I'm pretty sure your ammo or your ammo, your weapon takes no degradation when you're on his back only. So pull out your, because like I said, I was testing it with double Moblin arms, because those are like 56, but you only get 10 hits out of them. And nope, when you're on his back, they just lasted forever. So it's the same way in Breath of the Wild. So yeah, pull out your strongest weapon and then put it away when you're fighting him.
I knew that there was something about getting on their backs, but I assumed that I had to paraglide down and like land on it.
I
kept trying that and being like, oh, I don't know what is happening here. I'm just going to hit them with the hammer, which works until he touches me because everything still kills me in like one hit.
Yeah, you missed one backflip.
I'll report back on
Adventures. Take on a Gleok. Find a base like find one of the fire ones.
Yeah, one of the fire ones.
Get some good armor
okay.
on.
Yeah.
I would
get some heat resistant stuff.
Yeah, but. I wouldn't recommend fighting the Ice Gleok yet. It's much easier with Fire Keys Eyes, which I had traded enough from Kilton to be able to take one out, and that's it. I got like 4 Keys Eyes left, and that's it. And I'm just like, I'm hoarding these. I'm not using them.
Yeah.
You know?
But we're going to be dealing with like Gleoks are all over the place. Like I've seen 6 or 7 different Gleoks now, and we're only halfway through the map, so there's a lot of them.
If you have like a gold bow, like which is like 38 damage or something, 2 shots to the eye will take them out. You do have to hop off of, you know, a structure or something like that in order to get enough time. But I've even, if they're close to me and not doing their stupid wing attack to get you away, just targeting the eye and firing off a couple shots, we'll take an eye out, and it's doable.
Yeah. So I've got a 30 strength bow. I can.
Yeah,
you should. And that's the thing. It's
eye shots will do it.
It's intimidating, but like so many of these things in the game, like I was, like I said earlier, I'm like Brian is with Lynels now, where Gleoks are just like, all right, let's do it. Come on.
I see the value in their horn because I was talking to Hylian and he's like, yeah, it's probably the best elemental thing you can have on a weapon, you know, to get that elemental effect, and it doesn't need to recharge.
Right.
Those are pretty good.
Have you tried yet attaching a Gleok horn to a boomerang?
Ooh.
Might I recommend Gleok horn boomerang? Excellent combo. Very fun.
I hate the boomerang.
Tornado of element. Game. Just boom, boom,
it's
boom,
so
boom,
much
boom.
Work, yes, of like throwing it and making sure you catch it. Like, yeah. I mean, so much work. It's an extra button press timing.
I think I've also had situations where I've thrown a boomerang thinking it'll do something, and then it just, like, I think I tried to cut a rope or something with a boomerang, and it ended up just hitting the thing I was trying to cut and then falling off the skyland.
Then there it goes. Yes.
Okay, I guess I'm not using that ever again.
I did want to say the King Gleok, when you do fight it, you get when you beat it, you get a Sage's Will.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
Which... We barely talked about those, but that it's just another upgrade.
So I have the original one we talked about, and this one from King Gleok.
I've collected 6.
Okay.
When you get 4, you can go to a goddess statue, and you can upgrade your connection with one of your sage heroes, like your companions. I believe you can only do it once per each one, because I got another 4, and I couldn't do it right now. So okay. I'm guessing it's just each of them have, maybe there's only 16 out there total.
Is this like cutting down the timer or the refresh timer on it?
I don't think so. I made that assumption before. It says it just makes them stronger, and I feel like it does, because there's been plenty of times that they'll just launch a bunch of arrows and it's just like really quickly stunning and taking out an enemy, and I'm like, okay, cool, that's great.
I love Tulin's so good.
I would like if he shot more.
He's my little buddy.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, so another thing in this area up in the sky, we'll talk about the sky right now before we get to the break. The sphere,
the moon,
the moon.
The light moon.
I tried to fuse it to a stick. Didn't work.
The whole thing?
The whole moon.
The whole moon?
A moon on a stick, and then I wanted to bring it down. I thought it was going to be really funny, but no.
It's like an Elden Ring weapon you get from beating that one lady.
Exactly.
Moon on a stick.
Moon on a stick. That's what I wanted, but no, it's not fusible, unfortunately.
You go inside of this thing, and we've got a light puzzle that you can do, and you get a treasure.
They're like, hey, light puzzles are going to be a thing in this area.
Yeah.
So here you go.
I had there was one little treasure chest in one of the floating Skylands that I was messing with that had the light receptacle on it that you're supposed to direct the light on, but I couldn't. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? And it gave you one of those stakes that you can stick in the wall. And I was like, am I just supposed to put this stake on the wall and stick it through that hole? And it's like, this isn't doing anything. All right, I'm going to figure this out later. And then I did a light puzzle and I was like, oh, it's that same. It just needs light. That's all that thing is. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
And there are Zonai mirrors, I think, that you can use.
Yes. Yeah.
I've only found one.
The shrine above Gerudo Town was how I was introduced to these.
Mm.
It's like there's a lot of different puzzles in the desert using light to be like, this is our motif here.
Right.
Remember the mirror shield? It was in the desert.
Yeah,
that
you can
fun.
You can make a mirror shield.
Don't you miss that thing?
Yeah.
You're going to miss it even more after this is done.
Ooh, I should fuse one to a shield.
Yeah, do it. That was the handiest thing for me for getting through that shrine in particular. Was I just fused one to my shield, and I would like walk into the beam of light and be like, can I position myself correctly?
Can we go here?
Yeah.
Or you could just use the ultra hand and move it however you wanted.
Well, yeah, but if you need one at any point on your back.
Is that what you were going to say?
I was just going to ask, are we talking about Gerudo Town 2 this episode?
No.
No, okay. I was just saying I was introduced to them and because there's a lot of different places around here where like lights are important. It's going to be here. Mm-hmm. Lots of lighting.
No, there's a few temples or a few shrines in here that use the light puzzle. Like I came across two different ones, but then up in the Skylands too, there's a handful of things with that. And then I also found one cave that in order to get to, you needed to use get the light there, but you didn't have a mirror. You had to bring your own mirror, I believe. Ooh. And then you also had to be there at a certain time of the day, because that's only the time when the sun would come through.
All right. Looking forward to that one.
Circling back, talking about light and timing and everything, I did figure out the Thundra Plateau. It has to do with the shadows that go through at noon on there, and you have to connect to the. It is unintuitive, and I had to look it up. And the treasure underneath is great, and it's something I've been wanting. But I was like, how was I supposed to know this? What around here
gave us that riddle?
Nobody did. Like as far as I know, there's no sign anywhere. I think it's literally supposed to be the environment. You're supposed to look at it and assume something about that.
Is it set up like a clock?
No. I don't know. Like, I spent so much time reading it, and eventually I looked it up, and I was like, how? What about this told me that I was supposed to make this shadow here? Like, I
just trying to find something.
If you want me to tell you what it is, I can.
No. I mean, you basically told me that it's... Yeah, it's a shrine quest from Breath of the Wild using the sun and crap. So
and
yeah,
everything that you use the stuff that's all there on that.
I'm gonna look
on that
up.
On that plateau.
The
you don't need to go out of the circle. Everything that you need is in that circle around you.
Okay.
So that's the last hint I'll give you on that.
Okay.
There's actually one shrine I had a question about that I'm sure you all figured out, but it's just like a shrine that's kind of in a lake, like on the edge of a pond, and there's no, I didn't see a way to activate it. It's just like there. It's right by, it's like right past the Lionel and right near one of the Addison spots.
Addison's
it's not ringing any bells
place.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I haven't come across a
quest you have to do.
Is it like the actual stone is on there? It just doesn't have the Zonai switch, or the stone isn't there either?
I don't know. The stone's there. Like the big stone is there. Like it looks like a normal shrine, but then like there's like thorns in front of it, and the thorns go into the water too. So I assumed maybe you had to set the thorns on fire somehow.
But you can't.
You might be able to drain the lake. Like I've had a couple things where I've drained water from places.
Glide on in.
It's not a. It didn't seem like a glide in situation. So.
Okay.
Everything. things a glide-in situation if you start at the Skylands.
most of my situations have been glide-in situations.
Yeah, if I see thorns around a shrine, I'm like, where's a tree?
I'm like, where's the closest Skyland? I will simply teleport up.
Yeah, or yeah, I'll take a vacation first.
Make my little bike. Hover over.
I'll send a pic in the chat, and Tegan will be like, oh yeah, I did that 20 hours ago.
I have found so many Koroks you don't understand. They're great. They're my favorite little buddies.
All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the tier memory that's in here and just a few other things that might be waiting for us in this region.
It's just a chill time.
We're back. We do have a memory here. Let's go ahead and get into it. This one was like mostly on the side of a mountain. And so yeah. I was worried I was going to have to climb and like find some little spot to stand on. But fortunately,
glide in.
It's a flat area.
I intentionally started from the top. So
It was very close to the top.
Was it closer to the top? I thought it was close to the bottom.
Either, it was close to the top.
Okay.
Well, maybe it's close to wherever you glide in. It could move around. Who knows?
I landed and I was like, all right, now we have to find the tier. And I turned around and it was literally right behind me. I just happened to land in the right spot. I was like, aha!
Because I've had that happen before, too. I wonder if like it's actually not that hard to find them.
This one is number 7. A show of fealty.
Seven. Mm-hmm.
This was one of my favorites so far. This is where we like are properly introduced to Ganondorf, which is funny because it's like, so this is number 7. And then in the story, like this is the introduction of him as a person or whatever.
This is probably the first time he shows up.
It's possible because it's like we have number 7 is this, and then number 10 is him destroying everything and bringing the monsters in. So there's only number 9 in between to figure out where everything fell apart. So we'll see what that number 9 is eventually. Who wants to describe number 7 for us?
I can go ahead for it, BC. Describe it. Yeah. So we see kind of the throne room situation. We have this procession of Gerudo led by Ganondorf, and as it says, a show of fealty. They're all kneeling before the king and queen. Mm-hmm. And so Ganondorf's like, hey, I know we've ignored your treaties thus far, but we're here to sign up for the Kingdom of Hyrule. We're so like excited to be here. It sucks
really
that
cool.
All the Zonai are dead except for you and your sister. I bet when you showed up, we thought you all were gods, and now you're just the king of some random like kingdom you created.
You're just a guy. It's really cool what you've done for yourself, and you know, here's my knee.
So this is interesting because like this is the first time that we've confirmed that Rauru is a Zonai, right? Didn't he? I don't think
I believe we knew that.
I mean, I think that's kind of assumed. Like,
I think it's assumed.
They told us earlier.
I, for whatever reason, that felt like it was like the first time it's been confirmed. But also his sister.
That is new to me, at least.
No, it's not.
It's not. They mentioned her in the second memory that we got where Zelda's like showing up. He's like, well, let's
the teacup.
No, the second one where Zelda is looking over the Great Plateau. He's like, here's what we're going to do. Like, we'll consult with my sister, Minoru. Like, she'll know
that's
what's going
true.
On somehow.
We haven't met her yet.
We have not met her.
We don't know what her deal is necessarily other than being a sibling
sister.
Of Rauru.
Yeah.
And the other last Zonai.
And probably that dragon lady from the trailer.
I think this is the first time they confirm that they're...
I don't know. Anyway.
This is the first time they tell us that there are for sure no other Zonai outside of Rauru and Mineru.
They all bounced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bounced to the other side.
Above or below.
Peace!
Somewhere.
Deuces!
But this is the sassiest exchange, and I think the weirdest part is, you know, it's clear that Ganondorf is, you know, being not facetious. He's being what's the word for it? Snarky.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because he's not necessarily being facetious, because he doesn't care. He's being snarky, sarcastic. Insincere, like openly.
He's saying the right words, but the tone is incorrect, so you can tell he's like. It's very much.
He lays
one
it
of
all
those,
real
like,
thick at the end.
Yeah, it feels like one of those like court, like historical dramas, you know, where everyone's saying things that sound nice, but we all know they're calling each other like the nastiest words.
Yeah.
It's like when they explain like a Shakespearean passage to you and it's like, oh yeah, they were actually roasting everybody in the room.
Mm-hmm. No, politely. The thumb biting.
You see, I was just about to say, at the time, biting your thumb was the equivalent of flipping someone off. No, I love this Ganondorf. Like, this is the sassiest Ganondorf we've had. It's great. The most character just in this scene alone. There's more like characterization to this Ganondorf than we've had in pretty much in the others, where all the other times he's just brooding. That's always been his thing. Mm-hmm. Where Wind Waker was like the most we ever got a humanization for him and like a reason for him being the ultimate evil thing. And it was just him going, the wind ruined
really
my
windy.
Hometown. And that was
You're
like,
across
that was it.
The street.
Yeah.
It was really windy.
This here, it's like we have him where like we still don't even know that much about him, but you can like read the subtext on like how he's showing up here of like, okay,
yeah,
you know, we're gonna show up to this king and this queen, so called. We'll do what they're saying for now, but like I'll put my knee down because that doesn't mean anything to me anyway.
Yeah, it's almost like they've just been getting letters out in the desert, like, can you leave us alone? We're eating.
We're trying to reach you about our kingdom's extended regions.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that struck me, like I said, he's being so snarky, and so often I feel like the Zelda villains are kind of meant to be deceptive or sly. Like, oh, they were the king's advisor and they were secretly evil, or they like wooed the king. But here he's outright antagonistic, even as he's pledging fealty. And as they leave, Zelda, in the greatest understatement of all time, says, I don't know. There's something wrong about him. Even his name is kind of weird. I just imagine like some Marvel movie plot twist where like, or like, detective movie plot twist where like they move something and like the name Ganondorf goes to Ganon. Like, and they're like, oh my gosh, it was there the whole time.
No. Well, it's like meeting someone to be like, hi, my name is Luciferson. It's like,
yeah, oh, he's such a great guy.
Something about your name seems odd to me, but I think you're an all right guy.
Because like she's had like a memory wipe. Is that what's going on?
No, I don't think that's she acknowledges. But the thing is, they only know the name Ganon, so she's hearing Ganondorf and being like, "Huh, that's weird."
Yeah,
and
that's
but
weird.
Like because
and you
she
know
knows,
it also feels like there's some evil in that man's heart that we need to aware of. Yeah, and Robert's like,
I know, but I want to keep him close.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, you know, keep your enemies close.
So, like, the whole thing is, like, she's supposed to be able to sense darkness in people's hearts. And, like, she spent, what, like, a century? Like, countless amount of time next
with
to
that heart.
Calamity Ganon. So you would think that she would be like, I know this deal.
But
like,
maybe he's just not there yet. Maybe it is just, it just so happens that like at this moment, he's actually just like an okay guy that just cares about taking care of his own people. And then maybe in this cutscene that we see that he gets betrayed and that was the tipping point for him.
I think the oxygen levels are just weirder in the past. And so she's just kind of a little loopy and she's like, I know that name. I'm pretty sure I saw him try and kill me.
Did you go to this school in 2004?
Where were you?
Let me check Hyrule book. I think we might have mutuals.
Ganondorf from the dwarfs from the family of dwarfs.
Right.
From the Hyrulean dwarfs.
The one Gerudo born every 100 years. That guy? Yeah.
Oh, right. You.
Yeah. I heard so of it. Tegan, lore question. Mm-hmm. One Gerudo dude every 100 years or whatever.
I was hoping you'd talk about this.
Are they all Ganondorfs, or is there occasionally a Ganondorf that is one of those? Suck.
Every Gerudo male that we have encountered has been Ganondorf. Yeah. We have not met a non-Gerudo male Ganondorf. Like, we haven't met a Gerudo male who was not Ganondorf, I should say.
Right.
So is Ganondorf maybe just the Gerudo male name? Like, if you only have one at a time, theoretically, maybe you just have a name for that thing that is the only dude.
I mean,
if that's the case, I understand why the Gerudos are upset with everybody else, where they're just sort of like, yeah, it's our name, and you guys turned it into the worst thing ever. You guys turned it into just the name that nobody wants to say. And it's like, you know what? Screw you guys. We're not going to let any of you people out.
The Gerudo turned it into the name that nobody else wants to say.
Right.
Well, which came first? Was that a title before? And then it just keeps happening. Unfortunately, yeah, but we have to keep with tradition.
And of course, the Hyruleans are like, well, I don't know. It's a Ganon something. Oh,
meanwhile, there's some
bad guy is the Ganon something.
There's some poor royal knight who's like wife has given birth. He's got blonde hair and blue eyes. And it's just like, I'm going to name him Link after that hero. And it's just like, you've cursed our son. He's Link now.
He's great. Good
we
job.
We are going to die in the next 7 years. What's wrong with you?
Fairy immediately flies into the window of the house.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know this is very, like, questionable in ancient Egypt, but if the Gerudo produced a dark messiah every 100 years, I would simply not invite them to the kingdom.
or if they just produced a dude every 100 years who had that name, and a few times he turned out to be the dark messiah, but he still has that name.
Maybe I'd consider changing the name first, and then maybe considering the Gerudo having one
Dark Messiah by any other name.
If we have the Gerudo King, right, and we give birth to the Gerudo King, and we name him Johnson,
Dave,
right, Dave, yeah. And if Dave still becomes the ultimate evil, then we know the problem is the Gerudo King that's born every 100 years is the Dark Messiah. Yeah. Not only if we name him Ganon or Ganondorf does he become the Dark Messiah.
So do we add the dwarf later? So is it Davendorf?
We're getting into some real deep Malcolm Gladwell like pseudoscience here.
We also have to consider that maybe some of those Ganondorfs just weren't successful. They were just really bad at like taking over everything.
And they were so bad they didn't require the hero spirit to be summoned. Yeah. They're just
no,
like,
not at all.
Yeah, things have to align. That's all.
But I also want to talk about something. This is something that just popped in my head because in the past with the Gerudo, let's talk like starting with, you know, Ocarina of Time. In my mind, because I've just been a flaming liberal for so long, whether I knew it or not, in my mind, the Gerudos reproduced amongst themselves. And then every once in a while, every 100 years, there would be one that was different. This one sort of really takes a stand on the whole heteronormative thing that clearly the Gerudos at some point, like their what's the thing the Amish do where they go off
Rumspringer.
Yeah, when they go off to find a mate and then they come back and they're pregnant and everything. So this one establishes that more than anything else, but that is something that I used to think.
And Breath of the Wild too, yeah.
Yes. I count the, you know, I'm still counting these at the same time together, right? It's just never, I've never talked about it, but it's something that in my mind previously, the Gerudos just reproduced in a different way than other species.
Miyamoto would be like, don't ask.
But like
who
I said,
told you that there was every 100 years? Like, well, I don't know. Take that out. That's probably what he would have said. Like,
yeah, Miyamoto.
Who came up with this? Huh?
Don't ask Miyamoto about lore.
No, but like the whoever hit, you know, whether it was Koizumi or whatever that hid the Like, well, there's only one of them every 100 years. Miyamoto would be like, take that out. Do you understand? Like, no, this is the kind of thing I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Becoming like ridiculously canon.
I'm just trying to go over to America to see some of their stuff that I like. And then everyone's going to ask me about how the Gerudos reproduce. And I don't want to talk about it.
They're just a bunch of ladies. Who cares?
Okay. In Ocarina of Time, it is said that the lack of males among the Gerudo is countered by turning to males from other races.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But also in Ocarina of Time, they're described as a race of thieves. And so I think the idea is like they steal men.
They did.
I thought they raided men. They kidnapped
the dudes. And then
they had a building infrastructure project that just passed, and they needed 4 carpenters.
Yeah, I mean, it was a combination of my lack of reading and me needing to throw some gay agenda and everything.
It would be amazing, but unfortunately, at least by the time of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, they form consensual relationships with these men. They get married, they have children, and then eventually they like move back to Gerudo Town.
Mm-hmm.
To learn fortunately, about the Gerudo.
Fortunately, the great fairies have always sort of balanced that out of making it just real fabulous in general. So there's still always that. Anyway. So, yeah, we get this scene. It's done. One of the other things I want to point out is in the shot. Now, I don't know if I assumed this is supposed to be Ganondorf eyeing the tears that they're all holding, but we do just get the shot, goes to each of their tears as they're talking, and then it just cuts back to Ganondorf. Not necessarily like, I don't think the shot was done explicitly well to show that, but I think that was the idea. Ganondorf is interested in those things.
That's what they wanted you to see. They have them, he don't. He want that one.
But yeah, that wraps up this scene here.
The only thing kind of on that tier note is that I was wondering, it's like, all right, well, he doesn't seem to have a tier, but like there clearly is a Gerudo tier, so who has it?
Is there? Is that clear? I don't know if that rule is clear necessarily.
I thought that we saw a Gerudo in the little...
Yeah, in the Rito cutscene where they're telling us about the sages, they're like, me and the sages, and they show the other sages, and there is very clearly a Gerudo woman among the other sages.
Yeah.
It's like, me, the other sages, and Zelda. We're just having a party up here.
I think I just had a breakthrough on Ganondorf's motivation then. He's not going to be good enough to actually earn the tier, because we've talked about what it requires to become a sage, right? And Ganondorf is probably going to believe he should become a sage, and then he gets rejected because he's actually not good of heart, and that probably really upsets him.
Turns out you're evil.
I'm going to guess that's a part of his motivation.
Mom said it was my turn to be the sage.
Give it. Look at the rules. Rules say you can't.
Rules say I can. I am the one.
No.
I'm the one Gerudo male, and I get to be special. Give me the tier. Give me it.
I got the expansion that lets me have the rules.
So dumb.
Can't it just be a real piece of work? Alpha male type is just on brand, honestly.
Just the motivation is toxic masculinity.
Oh, yeah.
Housed in a 5-year-old.
Let's see. Anything else to talk about in this region?
We have another one of those underground tower, Skyview Tower situations.
Oh, yeah. We do need to. Yeah, we should talk about that because I thought that was pretty fun. The Skyview Tower was buried in snow.
Yeah.
And so we had to take a little detour to get there. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah. We had to take a little cruise. I don't know if you were expected to just like time your boat going underneath the tower to ascend up.
Eventually.
But
I think eventually, yeah.
Luckily there were ice fruit. There was ice fruit right by the end of that tunnel. But the thing I thought was weird was that the flow of the water, like the current kept going. So I had to use so many ice fruit to just like get something stuck so that I could stand there long enough to actually right. send up.
I glued a bunch of stuff together and made, you know, that's been my thing. If I need to, I do it the most ridiculous way of putting everything together to make this huge mass of stuff, but I'm like, I can climb it yeah. and it'll get stuck somewhere. And that's what I do with this, is because there's a couple boards at the beginning too, and I glued a bunch of those together, and so it was just like, this is gonna get stuck on stuff. It's just how it is, and that's what I want it to do, because that'll let yeah. me get to a place that I want to be.
Yeah, I had a big enough boat that I spawned in that immediately just got stuck in between two things and swam out to it.
You just spawned this cruise liner and just
yeah, I just got something big
hole.
Enough to wreck the area.
I'm still going with Long Bridge. That is,
I love Long Bridge.
Long Bridge has been my favorite.
I never get Long Bridge to fit.
I made my own Long Bridge out of ice. I did the okay. whole fuse it to a thing, make a new ice thing. I just fused them all together to make Long Ice Bridge oh, okay. that I could then run across. No problem.
I'm thinking of the schematic for
oh,
Long
yeah,
Bridge.
Oh, yeah, no, there I replicate Long Bridge schematic with other tools okay. that are
I see.
Easier. But I do have Long Bridge schematic that I do occasionally use. It's just too thick. It's a thicky bridge.
It's big.
Yeah.
Going to make new Long Bridge out of wood, and then it'll be... I'm going to save that as an auto build.
I love when you're manipulating those on like the X and Y axis, and if it's really long, there's a delay sometimes to it circling around, and then yeah. you're just like, I don't know where it's actually going to end up. I hit so many, oh, it pushed me out of the way, and now I fell. Oh, great.
When I raise it up, and it goes, and it just like shoot, and then it like gets stuck in the ceiling. It tries to like compress it back down. I'm like, no.
Oh, I told the chat that Thicky Bridge is now my jazz alias.
That needs to be the recurring joke, is whatever the phrase is the new band name.
Oh man, like, you know, he'll be playing along, and then he gets to that Thicky Bridge. That's where he gets his name from.
The new album by Clarence Thornton and Thicky Bridge.
Ah, yeah. So that one's cool, and I like whenever you teleport back to it, because you were just like encased in this like ice dome that just all you can do is just go into the entrance of it and launch yourself up there.
I like how Clarence Thornton is somehow an even jazzier name than Thicky Bridge. Like, just it just inherently is. All right, no, sorry, go ahead.
Anything else?
My favorite thing now, and this is something that I struggled with in the Hyper region, but now it's happening more, is I'll unlock a shrine, and then I'll leave the area, forget where that shrine was, and be like, oh yeah, that's about the place I want to teleport to. Teleport, and that's like, oh, this one's the underground one that's impossible to reach. Dang it.
Yeah.
I've teleported to the wrong spot, even though it's the most, it's the closest spot. It's no longer the most convenient spot.
Yeah.
In this region, I found there's a chasm opening, which I assume is the chasm reference from the previous game, right next to the Yiga clan hideout. But I went up to the door and I couldn't do anything. So
we can't do anything yet. We need to get the Yiga outfit. Like that's going to have to be something we'll circle back around to. I have one piece. So we don't have the gear that we need to go in here, so we'll have to circle back around to the Yiga hideout later. Mm. I did drop in to the place in Breath of the Wild where we fought Master Koga, and yeah, it's still the big opening, but now it is just a chasm down into the depths, so you can go down to there. I thought there would be something more interesting at the bottom of it, but it's clear it's like this is just where they started and they've moved on since then.
I was afraid to drop in there because I thought it would start that like big sequence where last time when he ran away, sort of thing. And no, I stumbled into him in a different area.
I dropped in there and there's a bunch of materials and I immediately made this super fancy car, but it's like on a ridge. So
yeah.
You're at the top of this hill. So all I did was just like end up flipping my car like five times and I got frustrated and just left.
I see why going forward, I see why they're so into cars, because The desert is very flat, and so I imagine the, from what I've just walked around in Gerudo desert depths, also pretty flat terrain. So having a car is great here, and maybe not so much anywhere else in the game.
Anything else in this region?
I did find, I wanted to see if she was still there. Our beautiful, very tall lady. Our giant woman.
Number 8.
Yeah, she's still there. Yeah. I can't do anything with her at this time. But she's still right there. She's beautiful. She's got some new paint on her, which is very nice. Can't wait to see what that's about.
And her sword has a Gleok near it instead of a Lynel this time.
Yeah, so. It's great. Yeah. Hate that for me. I took a picture of her because I was like, somebody's going to want to see this. Click.
Someone didn't want to see it. Yeah. People are always interested
in
that. I don't
think anyone's going to want to see it, and I'm disappointed. But, like, last time someone really wanted to see her, so, like, I'm hoping.
Didn't they give us some sweet boots?
Yeah, they gave us some sweet boots for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping.
I want those boots.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. For the next episode, we're going to go into the Gerudo Desert. We are going to go check in on the Gerudos. We'll see what we got to do to get in there, because we're still a VO, and they don't want us in there. So
yeah.
we'll figure that out. But get to the point where you raise the temple up. That's where we're gonna wrap up for the next episode. So get there, go explore. There's a huge desert to explore here. So feel free to run around, hit some shrines, go underground too. There's some cool stuff underground as well. Do all that, and then meet back here, and we'll talk about it on Chat of the Wild. Ça va.
As Ben Folds once said, we can be happy underground.